So far, based on the experiences that I've heard from people that I know, like you guys, like, it's just being there.
Yeah.
It's different.
Yeah, man.
It's
yeah.
In multiple ways that I have no words can put.
Yeah. Yeah, the vibe, the energy, you know, that's the only way to describe it, because the feel is just different, man. Like,
yeah.
I don't know, te digo, si te despegas a veces de la ciudad, man, that's the best thing. Concrete is cold. You know, it's and then especially given the times over here right now, man, it's sometimes overwhelming, and you become a little darker because of it, you know, and you can't help it, you know, you're just bombarded with bad shit, you know,
it's true.
And to detach oneself from that sometimes is definitely needed, you know. I know a lot of people go out here and go camping and stuff, you know, that's it gets it done too, but fucking going a little further, you know, down there with a whole different set of people and the land is different, man.
Yeah.
It's good for the soul.
It definitely is.
Back to Latinx Nation. I'm one of your hosts, Sal. I'm with my amazing co-host,
Carla. What's up, y'all?
Fortunately, Melanie couldn't make it because she said earlier in a few episodes back, she's going to be crazy busy with her student teaching gig. So hopefully she'll be in an episode soon.
Yes.
It is not likely. But if y'all miss it, we'll make her come back.
Yes. Yeah. So cool.
So we have a great episode for you guys today. Before we get to that, we got a few shout outs as usual. And we got amazing shout-outs from
me. Carla. Yeah. First shout-out is Diana and Andrea. You know, they're still doing their pop-up. We had them on our last podcast. They are doing it Wednesdays, Saturdays, and Sundays, I believe, in L.A. We'll make sure to put the address, information, timing when they're doing their pop-ups.
Yep.
So you guys can definitely hit them up and go buy a cold brew, a pour over from them. They're amazing. They're doing great stuff. So.
They know their coffee too.
Yeah, they know their coffee. And they're still growing too. So
yeah.
Go support locals. I think that's a shout out for all the time. Supporting locals is very important. You know, so please, whatever it is, like if you can support it, if you can go that extra mile and support a local coffee shop or a local, I don't know, vendor of any kind, please do.
Yeah, always.
Second shout out, it's Sal's birthday this weekend, so we'll be releasing it on...
My birthday?
No, we're releasing it today, because this is this
this week's episode. So this is this week's episode.
Yeah, so happy birthday, Sal. Early birthday.
Happy early birthday to me.
Yeah, but...
25.
25, dang. You're not old.
I'm not old.
You're in your quarter life...
I'm in my first quarter.
You're in your quarter life crisis, I call it. But cool. So then today's episode, I'm super excited. I'm gonna let him introduce himself and kind of give us a gif, and then we'll go from there.
Well, my name is Kenny Becerra. I'm a coffee importer from Guatemala, more specifically the Frejanes region. Been in this business for almost 5 years. Crazy, I hadn't thought about that in a while.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's been 5 years already?
Yeah, almost 5 years from the inception of the idea, man.
But you've grown. You could see yourself growing.
Yeah. Like, it started as... I mean, even the start of it is kind of crazy because a hangover almost cost me this. Like, I was literally on vacation in Guatemala. My uncle had invited us to go pick us up from La Capital and take us up to the finca. You know, my mom, she'd grown up in the finca... You know, since she was a little girl, like on her summers, she spent them up there. It's a huge, huge property, though. It's like 163 acres, I think it is. And a lot of that land hasn't been touched.
Yeah. Where is Frejanes in Guatemala?
Frejanes is like south, not completely south, but it's south of the capital even.
Okay.
Like about 45-minute drive over a hill. You come up on Frejanes. It's a small town.
Yeah.
The region is known as the Frejanes Plateau.
Okay.
But it's kind of crazy. I was talking to my my partner out there, Mario Salazar, because we were at the top of a mountain. I'm like, look, I don't see how this could be the plateau. I mean, we're full of mountains and hills here. And he explained to me there's a certain region where it's kind of flat, but it doesn't include the coffee producing regions. But yeah, we're just south of the capital.
Cool. So is it, how far is it from, because usually when I go to the coffee farms out there, I go to Jalapa, but that's a little bit north, right? A little bit northwest.
Yeah.
So you're like a little bit more south.
Yeah, a little bit more south. You see, like I've seen the signs that lead to Jalapa. I've never been into Jalapa. I've been to Juliapa.
Okay.
Yeah, and Barbarena, like Santa Rosa.
Okay.
Yeah, but I definitely you're not too far.
Okay.
Yeah, you're
okay.
Not too far.
Yeah. Oh my God, Jalapa is beautiful.
Yeah.
It's breathtaking.
Yeah. That whole region is very green.
Yes. Yeah, and a lot, like you were saying, a lot of those places aren't touched. And some of, like, digamos, yo que no soy de allí, like, I was born here, I can't buy property. Or even my dad. My dad was born in Zacapa. Yeah, I think he was born in Zacapa. And if he wanted to buy property in Jalapa, he can't. Like, only residents of Jalapa can buy property
there. That's pretty cool.
It's crazy, but so, it's nice. You know?
Yeah, but then there's also, like, I was talking to the farmers out there, and they're like, there's so many people that like just leave, like they, because they can't afford it. They can't afford like just producing coffee. It's not bringing in cash for them.
Yeah, it's very look, and that's something that, like, it was a real conversation I had with my uncles. Once I figured out, because like I said, I went out there. I figured out that they had some coffee. I'd never seen a coffee plant grow before. So I was like, "What is this? It looks like a little cherry growing on a tree." Like, "Yeah, it's coffee right there." So. Mm-hmm. You know, mind blown. Started asking questions like, how much do you guys sell this for? Yeah. And the prices were just, it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of got me mad. I was very surprised. It was a lot of things.
Yeah.
So just to clarify, what's like ridiculously
low? Low on the low end. Like, it's, you know how they talk about, you know, $1 a pound coffee?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sometimes it's even a few cents below the dollar. You know what I mean? And this is a practice that happened. Like, Fray Hannes was honestly being taken kind of advantage of.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have never heard of Fray Hannes, right?
I haven't.
Yeah,
I
see?
Haven't. Yeah.
See, and it's the crazy part, because we have some of the best tasting coffees in Guatemala, right? Mm-hmm. The altitudes, like, for instance, my family's farm is at, well, where we grow coffee at.
Mm-hmm.
It's between 1,640 and 1,675 meters elevation. That's pretty high. It's pretty high. Strictly hard bean for real. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the prices that we're getting was just ridiculous. It made no sense to me.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? Let me come back. Let me go to school. Let me see if I could actually even do this.
Yeah.
Took a few courses in international business. Figured out that I could.
Mm-hmm.
And just needed more of a connection over there, an exporter, and
mm-hmm.
all that got figured out. And you know, where we're at today, El Cielito Cafe, they were the first people. He was the first person to buy multiple sacks off me, you know?
Okay.
He ended up buying 6 out of the first 8 sacks that I brought in.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's good.
It was a good connection to have with Danny. I mean, even just like I said, right off top, both from Echo Park, which was kind of a trip.
Yeah.
That we grew up like a quarter mile away from each other, even though I'm a little older than him.
Mm-hmm.
But still, and yeah, man,
it's
just to have just to have that coffee end up in a neighbor's cafe is kind of cool. All the way in Southgate too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you started and you were saying that, you know, you were surprised. You're like, by the prices that your uncle was getting on the coffee.
Yeah.
Has that bettered?
Yeah, like honestly, it's more than doubled.
Wow.
You know, like I've taken, and that's the thing. Like the people we work with, other importers that do the same thing that I do, that I met here at El Cielito, like Cafe Huayua, La Dalia Coffee. We all make it a point to think of the farmer first, because we have a connection, a straight connection. There are families, you know, in every case, there are families, or there are people that we've met and made a connection with that are honest, hardworking people that aren't living the way that they should be for having the type of commodity that they grow, like, and the quality that they put out. So, you know, we make it more about them than us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's okay. And then within that, man, it's kind of crazy because even someone like me who's independent, no bank loans, no nothing.
Yeah.
I could pay them better than a corporation, like a bigger corporation can. And that right there, that's too crazy. That's too crazy.
Yeah.
That's too crazy. So it's just about the want. You know what I mean? Like, do people want to do it or not? And most of these corporations don't. They look at profit margins and overhead and all that. And they don't think about where it comes from and how they're living, you know, how the producers are living, which isn't that great.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. No, it's definitely true. I mean, like, we've seen it multiple times from not only even these big guys, too. Like, we've seen it. Me personally, working in, like, coffee shops here and there, it's the culture division in it where it's like I worked for coffee shops owned by Whittles, you know, and there's like, nope, you know, I like, where's, I don't know where this coffee's from, but hey, we're gonna make it the best quality, so it only matters from the roaster to the cup. Mm-hmm. It's like, nah, dude, like, our farmers are doing some of the more most hardest work out there. Like, yeah, being a barista can be tiring, but it is nothing by means.
Imagine being on an incline,
holding
a coffee basket, and
that's bigger than
that,
you.
Yeah, man, and you do that all day, you know, and that's real hard work. Not I'm not down, you know, trying to put down baristas. Baristas have a really hard job too, man. Like, especially now with this whole Corona thing, but man, like, to be, you know, in the heat, you know, humidity and on the hill with a basket of cherries, and then just having the sense to, like, to have the hand-eye coordination to just pick just the ripe ones, you know what I mean? Like, those people are professionals, you know? Yeah. They don't have a degree, but they're definitely professionals.
They're not treated like professionals.
No. And that starts with, like I said, the pay. So our coffee prices need to change, man. Like, more of a emphasis needs to be made for the profit to get to the farmer. You know what I mean? Because the farmer means they're workers too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they're workers. If the farmer has some land, the worker, obviously, they don't have it. Others be working it themselves. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they're even in more of a bind financially than the producers are. You know?
Yeah.
So, man, it's a lot of people that touch this coffee, you know, before it even gets here. And those are the people that should be getting, you know, a more fair share of what's happening on this end. You know?
Yeah,
we're seeing a lot of this, like the disconnect, like I was telling you, where there, and I've talked about this even on the last episode, where there's a disconnect even as simple as a business owner to a barista. So there's a lot of people that, like, I want to open a coffee shop because it's very aesthetically pleasing and it's going to bring profit, it's going to make me rich. And
they've never worked in a coffee shop ever.
Or in customer service or in anything that's going to, like, you know, and there's that disconnect. And some are successful, though. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not saying that some aren't. Like, there's definitely those shops that the owners probably never even, like, had coffee up until he started selling it, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, and it's successful. And it's successful, and I get it. But then there is definitely that disconnect of, like, how is it working behind a bar? How is it really these farmers? Like, what do they really have to go through? You know, they're not just going out to a flat surface and picking an apple, it's like, no, it's not that easy.
No, it's not, man. And I'm telling you, I going down there, it really, it changes you to see it, you know, firsthand, to smell the smells, to meet the people, to talk to the people. You know, I've man, like, the foreman of one of my where we process our coffee at Finca Santa Luisa, owned by the Salazar family. He's an older man, and he was born there. He was born on that land, you know. And his family has always been kind of, you know, attached to the Salazar family. Yeah. And this man knows so much about coffee, man. He's like the most knowledgeable person I know. He makes sure just the natural process is flipped according, like, everything. He just oversees everything, right? Yeah. And man, like, he's worked tooth and nail his whole life, and he's been all right, you know what I mean? But he should be better, you know? But with the prices the way they are, like, there's no way, you know? Yeah. And So yeah, that's I'm telling you, it's something that changed me is seeing it, you know, seeing the struggle. Sure. Everyday struggle definitely changes. Yeah.
So then that experience helped you build this, that what you're sitting on pretty much, this
business. That idea, I'm telling you, just seeing all this kind of was like, okay, I started learning about coffee and started the whole journey. And just bringing those first 8 sacks in was a crazy, crazy feeling, you know, because something, I actually brought something in internationally, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And it wasn't, it was,
it was
difficult, man. It's a puzzle.
Yeah.
They make it hard. They make it to where not just everyone would just be like, yeah, let me just get into this, you know. It's a little struggle, man. It's a little puzzle, and it took some digging and you know, no lawyers hired or nothing, just because we're low budget, man. We're low budget in the beginning, and I had to do what we had to do. But yeah, and bringing it in, and then it's like, damn, all right, it's here. Now what? You know, now we gotta present ourselves, you know, and. Yeah. The story was, you know, my family's coffee, even though that particular coffee wasn't from my family's farm.
Uh-huh.
It was still from the pueblo. You know, I was representing Frejanes now.
Yeah.
And it was cool, man, to see it, you know, start getting served here at El Cielito. And I started selling, you know, bags of it, like small timing. And
were you roasting it yourself?
Yeah, like, so I have my own little roaster at home. It's a little 500 milligram Mill City roaster. Yeah,
see,
so
it's possible.
It's possible.
That's what I was telling you. Like, you just gotta buy a roaster.
Like I told you, I'm like, I know nothing about this, but I know you can do it somehow.
It's just that leap is scary to like invest. Not only $100, it's like thousands of dollars.
Yeah, it's a few thousand for real. But
we adding some zeros to this now.
Yeah, no, it's definitely scary, man. And I bought the roaster before I even had coffee. You know what I mean? Like I'd never roasted a bean in my life, you know, and I bought the roaster knowing that this was going to be a tool, you know, that I was going to need, you know, and Mario ended up coming down. My partner Mario from Finca Santa Lisa ended up coming down and to the States, and he helped me set it up.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It got delivered, I think, in October. Mm-hmm. Or something like that, and it didn't get installed until like late November.
Okay.
He helped me out though, because he's a roaster himself.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
A little bit bigger machine out there, but still a roaster, He helped me set it up, helped me figure out what basic roasting was, and I kind of just took it from there with some YouTube videos.
Yeah.
You know, Mill City's kind of helpful with that, where they post, you know, how to kind of get going with your machine.
Mm-hmm.
And then Danny came into play, and I started figuring out that Danny had a different technique, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of drove my machine. Yeah, he drove my machine a couple times, you know. And he's like, look, tinker with this, tinker with that, and yeah, man, like the roast got better. Dude, I'm telling you, Danny is not very very no es egoísta.
No,
it's Danny is you know, he's a big person, man. He's not jealous like that. He doesn't hate on people. You know, people take advantage of his kindness more than anything. You know what I mean?
Shout out to El Cielito, by the way.
I know, man.
Forgot to shout them out.
Dude is legit, man. And yeah, he gave me a couple whispers and advice. And yeah, the roast got better.
Nice.
And I honestly, I used it to help people out, like with sample roasting. I use it to fill, you know, little small orders.
Yeah.
Anything above certain weight, I just, you know, I go to Danny. I'm like, Danny, let me use your machine, and he hooks it up and roasts it for me. And
that's cool. That's,
we all use each other, man. Like, we all help each other out.
As well,
yeah, you know? That's all it is, man. Like, that's all it was for me, and I had to, you know, I had to, because I don't know, man. Going to Frejanes and seeing it, like I said, it lit a fire under my ass, and I was like, dude, this thing needs to change, and let's try and make that change.
It really is like I mean, I always share this. It's when I first went to Guatemala as like an adult, and as simple as like even just driving out there, and you see the hustle of the people out there, and it's insane.
Man.
It's insane. And then like the stories my dad would tell me, you know, were his American dream, and he made it possible in 5 years. And I'm like, how the fuck? Like, and I'm over here like, oh, I don't know what I want to do next in my life. Like a millennial kind of mentality in a sense, you know. And like, oh, do I really want coffee? But it's like, yeah, it changes your life. It really changes your life.
Yeah.
And I feel like going to a coffee farm in general is highly recommend it to anybody.
Yeah.
And everybody.
Yeah, it really is, man. It opens your eyes and it gives you a different appreciation for what you drink. You know, most people just take coffee as just coffee, that stuff that gives me, you know, a boost in the morning or whenever, you know, and a lot goes into that bean, man. A lot of hard work, a lot of sweat. And like you were saying, it's my uncles were on the verge of quitting growing coffee too.
Yeah.
Like they, oh, wow. Yeah. When the Roya hit, I mean, for those of you that don't know what that is, it's a fungus that grows on the coffee leaves. It's a coffee rust. It wiped out, you know, 80% of their crop, you know, and it took years for those plants to recover, and some didn't make it, and a lot of farmers were impacted heavily with that. Jeez. And imagine, on top of that, you got low prices. Like it was almost like a setup for banks and outside influence to, like, come in and, like, swipe up that land, you know? And that's...
Yeah. I mean, if you put it that way, it really does.
Yeah. And that's what kind of happened in a lot of cases, man. Like outside influence, even European influence. Like, I know there's a lot of Germans, like, buying up land, Americans that you know, those third wave shops that got big enough and went over there and just bought land and cut costs in that way too, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm not gonna knock on everyone, because some of those actually, you know, they do help out locally, but you know, not everyone does. But it's a lot of crazy situations with coffee down there, man, with that Roya that developed.
And right now, how would you say that your family's farm or El Pueblito in that area in Rajanes has been affected by the pandemic? I know you slightly talked about it earlier, but...
Yeah, I talked to my people over there, and, you know, 4 p.m. I think is their curfew.
Yeah.
In the Pueblito, you know, you have your couple patrol cars that go up and down and make sure people are inside. But yeah, it affected a lot, you know, and a lot of those small businesses that struggle. It's the same with here. You know, the same things that you think about here, where small businesses just went under because of the rent, because of everything that went attached to it. Same thing happened over there. You know, might be lower rent and all that, but it's still rent to them, you know, and to them, it's still super hard. I know in the capital, it really hit hard. One of my favorite bars down there closed.
Really?
La Cien Puertas, RIP, man. Like, pandemic hit it hard, and that's it. So it's same thing. They're going through the same. They're trying to live, but I mean, you know, you've seen how people live down there. They're happy, right? Even if they're in the dirt, like, and it might not be that great.
Yeah.
They're happy as hell. They're always joking around.
Yeah.
So they find a way. You know, they find a way to still just find a little normalcy, just kind of like how we do, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's not like here where, like, there's substance in life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Over here, you get here, you can have a successful business, have family, can be big, small, whatever. But like, people can still feel empty inside.
Let me tell you something, the greenery does something to you.
I truly believe that.
When I go down there, it's like I recharge my battery. It literally is like, it feels like I'm recharging my everything, you know what I mean?
Did you tell me that too?
Yeah. I took a sustainability class like a few years back, and I remember the first part of it was just learning about like different businesses and in different like countries, and I think it was Japan. But it was just talking about like the way they're just even building their hospitals, and they're putting so much greenery in their hospitals and their facilities, and it just brings such like restoration in so many ways. And it's true. It is Guatemala. As soon as you enter, you're like,
like the city is really congested. I'm not gonna lie, the city's congested. It's still like any other metropolis, you know, with bad traffic at certain points of the day. But man, when you get out of the city and you hit a little spot like Rajanes, like the wind, the air, it's the cleanest. I don't even know like how to describe it. It's just the cleanest air you've ever inhaled.
Yeah, how do you describe clean air?
Yeah, like I don't even know how to, but it's just, you know. It's not tainted, you know, there's no smog in it.
Yeah.
You go through like three different seasons a day, you know. It's crazy.
Yeah. Like thunderstorm, and then all of a sudden the sun is bright and
there's a breeze,
and then it's cold at night.
Yeah.
It's nice and windy, and then you wake up to the birds chirping. Like it sounds a little cliche, but
Makes me homesick kind of.
Yeah, I miss it, man. Like I'm over my, I was supposed to go like right after the coronavirus hit, I was supposed to have a trip, and That got canceled.
They just opened up though.
Yeah, so I'm looking at it. I'm probably heading down there in November.
Yeah, tickets aren't even that bad.
No,
like $450 maybe.
Yeah, it's not that bad. Yeah. So yeah, I'm looking at November.
I don't know
November.
What the restrictions are though. I don't know.
They told me that I think you get quarantined for 2 weeks, but that basically means you give them an address of where you're gonna be at, and you just stay there. You know,
yeah.
And luckily I'm going to, you know, a finca.
Yeah.
So you know, I could walk around and talk to my people there and have people come.
Do business, hang out.
Yeah, it's all good, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It works out in that way, you know.
Yeah. That's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was looking into that. I was like, should I really go?
Yeah. I mean, if it wasn't for the coronavirus, we would have been there like right now.
Yes.
That was
the
original plan to go.
Yeah,
like,
we wanted to go for
And I honestly thing. Like I'm still kinda iffy just because my wife's expecting, but in business, you know, is business, man. Like sometimes you have to take care of what you built, you know.
Yeah. When it's like you were talking earlier, right? We were talking about the corona and just like pandemic. It's honestly taking care of yourself and being aware of it.
Yeah.
You know, no más por cualquier cosa, you're gonna go.
No.
You know, you're not. Oh, I want to go hang out and party and be wherever I want to be in Guatemala. Like, no, it's not about that. You know, you're obviously going to a stable place.
Yeah.
And you're being safe. You're being safe not only for
yourself,
but
you even got protocol on the return, you know. Gonna get tested like the day after I land.
Yeah.
All that good stuff. Just to make sure, just in
to
case,
be,
you know.
Be safe, be, yeah. That's what I was. My uncle's heading out next week, for my grandma's birthday for like 2 weeks, and I just told him like, make sure you take.
Yeah.
He's a truck driver, and I'm like, make sure you take care of yourself.
Yeah,
like,
it's just so weird. You know, you don't know what to think of this. Like.
Yeah. It can happen just so sudden, and to anybody.
That's true.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, and even with coffee, man, like some spots flourished, some didn't, you know, some went under. And like me personally, the connection I saw was e-commerce.
Mm-hmm.
Like whoever had e-commerce did okay and survived, you know, whoever didn't, it's still pretty aggressive and and hard for them, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, man, e-commerce is a crazy thing, you know.
Yeah. Have you been able to still be transporting coffee back and forth?
Yeah, like so. That never really. I mean, it affected it in a way where it delayed it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't completely stop it.
Okay.
Yeah, there was never a full halt on any of that.
Mm-hmm.
I know my friends have brought in coffee as well, and.
Mm-hmm.
It delayed it a few days, sometimes a week or two.
Yeah.
You know, but no, it's still on and
okay.
popping. You know?
Good. I thought like it would just completely stop.
No, but there's
a lot
of people. I'm telling you, like there's a lot of companies, the bigger companies. I remember when this thing had just hit, they weren't importing. They were waiting to see what was gonna happen.
Yeah.
They weren't bringing in their big containers and the thing, from what I heard. You know, so
then
it just loosened up, and I think right now it's as trying to get back to normal,
yeah,
you know, the flow, but still a lot of people are hesitating on pulling the trigger on big quantities just because they don't know what it's going to be like in the next six months to a year, you know?
Yeah, it's so in the air.
Mm.
It's so like, yeah, it's just in the air, you know?
Yeah, and it's hard to tell like when like major like global events happen. Mm-hmm. It's like everything stops for like a minute.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, it's really the people that are adaptable.
Yeah.
Are the ones that like move forward, because like with coffee, everything went to e-commerce.
Mm-hmm.
Everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everything. Unless like stuff was already here, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So like imagine like the power of like the internet and how it's like influencing every single industry. Like what can you do next in order to make sure that everything stays afloat?
Yeah, man, it's really a toss up. But it's gonna have to do with e-commerce for sure though.
Oh yeah. No.
You know, like it's playing it day by day, man. Like it's crazy being a small business owner right now. You know, kudos to those that, you know, they're trying to put it down and stay afloat, and those that are, you know, like more power to you, man. Like that's good.
Yeah. For somebody that like anybody out there that would want to like start working with farmers in Guatemala, what would you recommend, or how does the chain supply work in a sense? Like, let's say I want to go buy coffee from my friends,
mm-hmm.
you know, and start importing it, start roasting it, and start distributing.
Well, me personally, like I, you know, in Guatemala, I got my, we got our family registered like with Ana Cafe, you know what I mean? So they're a known coffee origin now.
Okay.
That was the main thing. That's why you really couldn't bring it in that first time. You know, okay. They didn't know education is a motherfucker, man. Information is
hell
a,
yeah.
Because they didn't know anything that they needed necessarily to even bring it in. So it starts with that, you know, just getting your origin proper, you know, having you registering your business over there, and then finding an exporter, you know, and that's the tricky part right there too, you know, because a lot of people are they won't just sell you coffee and export your coffee. It's like they're gonna get you for something.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. a lot of different practices with processing coffee that go on, you know, lying on weight. It's all kinds of a mess, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I know I've probably been a victim of it early on until, mm-hmm. you know, Santa Luisa started their Beneficio back up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a personal friend of mine started working it. So now I know I'm not getting cheated for sure,
yeah,
you know what
okay.
I mean? But there's all kinds of things. And then, so exporter, and then getting your paperwork straight on this end, you know?
Yeah.
You have to be, you know, registered in the proper channels with government here, you know, government entities here.
Yeah.
And thinking about where you're gonna store your coffee, you know, you can't just store it in any place.
Anywhere,
you know,
yeah.
It has to be a certain temperature, and it gets hot in Cali. You know, we just went through a heat wave, so if you don't have an insulated, you know, spot to keep your stuff at, you know, your quality is gonna go down a little bit. You
yeah,
know,
yeah.
So
it's those details that a lot of people don't realize. Or
it's a lot,
about,
man.
You know?
It's a lot goes into you know, planning the logistical part of it. Even, you know, I'm very blessed, man. I'm very lucky that, you know, my Guatemalan connect, they're all coffee people over there, and their families are coffee people. And, you know, a cousin of a friend happens to be an exporter, you know, happened to be one of the biggest exporters in Guatemalan coffee, you know, and Café Quetzal, you know, and so, you know, we're working together, you know what I mean? They understand what the struggle is, and they come from humble beginnings in Frejanes, and so they're just literally trying to put it on the map too. You know what I mean? So everyone I work with from there to here, humble people, you know, regardless of financial stature, like they're trying to change the way coffee is traded.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day. Yeah.
Of course.
So, yeah. Did you ever find it mind blowing, like the importance of like making connections with people will be like important to your business or to what you're doing?
Say that again.
But did you find it like almost mind blowing the importance of like making connections with people?
Yeah, man, like initially, I was kind of standoffish with people, you know, like I'm not a very trusting person, you know, and it's a gift and a curse sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, like in the beginning I kind of resisted it and slowly started opening up to different. You start just trial and error, you know, talking to people. You start realizing what works, what doesn't for
right.
you. Because everything that works for me isn't necessarily going to work for the next person.
That's
you know
true.
What I mean?
Yeah.
I'm a very particular kind of way, and I like things done a certain way. So, but, certain people that, I don't know, man, life puts in your path. If you're open enough to make that connection, you end up helping each other out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And with Latinos, man, it's kind of crazy because there's a lot of envidia,
oh,
you know, in our culture.
I know, and that's such a weird thing.
We were just talking about that.
Yeah, we try to think that we're all united, and for the most part, we are, man. But this, when it counts, sometimes, man, there's some crazy ass hating that goes on. So it's another thing, man. Like me connecting with like Café Huayua and La Dalia Coffee and El Cidito Café.
Yeah.
There is none of that. And we realized that it had to be that way in order for us to prosper together.
Yeah.
And because it's hard enough being out here, man, selling coffee on the road by yourself, fucking independently.
Like, why do you want to be alone, you know?
You know, independent fucking coffee sales is crazy, man. And
mm-hmm.
and it's cool to have, you know, fellow people trying to do the same thing. You know, and we, like I said, we help each other out. A little coffee syndicate, little cafeteros syndicate,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, we were just talking about that last week, like, envidia, man, envidia can break families apart, you know, and we've seen it multiple times, like, in our family and in our communities.
In my family.
Yeah.
Everyone's seen it, man.
And it's like, dude, like, if, and I love that connection that you have with Café Huayua and Dahlia's Coffee, and Danny, you know, where it's like, you guys have probably similar product or similar mentalities or similar visions, but it's like, at the end of the day, it's all about the farmers.
Yeah, man, and even like, Café Guayua, JJ is Guatemalan.
Yeah.
He was born over there, man, like, he's Guatemalan as it gets, and you know, he has a little project over there too in Guatemala with his uncles, you know, and we work together over there. You know, they buy coffee off my family even over there. You know, so it works on both ends. You know, try to help each other in any way possible.
Yeah,
you know, and within that little culture that you were talking about with small businesses, the Latino, you know, Latinx movement that's going on with.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome to see people helping each other. You know, I work with like a bunch of small vendors. You know what I mean? Skin of Soul. You know, Stephanie from Skin of Soul. She's done some soaps with my coffee in it, and my coffee's been in beer, in like a craft beer. You know, like unfortunately the brewery closed down. You know, it's just even before Corona hit, like it's a rough business too, man. The small brewery thing, but it was a hell of a beer. They call it the Darkness Within Guatemala. It was like a 10.2% imperial stout. It tasted like cold brew, man, and no alcohol kick, but after a couple of those you're definitely feeling
you're
it.
Out yeah, yeah. Man, so. Yeah.
Sounds amazing. We gotta get to
there's some cool stuff, you know, that people are doing to really push a really high quality like product.
And, yeah.
And sometimes it's like, oh, it's just coffee. I'm like, oh, dude, you can do so much with this.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Beauty products. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I've seen that multiple times.
Yeah, beauty products.
Baking products.
You into that? Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
all that man. Stuff. It's a really resourceful product.
Endless amounts, man. Like, yeah, it's crazy. Coffee's a crazy thing that connects a lot of things, you know?
Yeah.
I've always seen, like, the pinnacle of, like, the stuff that's been created. Or that's been discovered from our planet has been like coffee and chocolate.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, then if you look back, right, from the little history lessons that we've had, like within our families, or I think we've even done a podcast about it.
Yeah.
Where it's like we have the Mayans and we have the Aztecs, right? Like they were always like, okay, no, chocolate was discovered here in Mexico. Like, nah, chocolate was discovered here in Guatemala. And it's like, there's always that battle of like resources. Like, no, who found this? Who, you know, and like chocolate was a
and
it's just that it's that lower, and even I mean, you talk about history lessons, like, because I'm half Mexican too.
Nice, you know,
I'm yeah, my dad's from Nayarit. But
my dad was born there.
There you go, light skin, bro. That's where I fear. There's only three places you could be from. Yeah.
He's like already pinning down where you're from.
But
so true. So
but man, like the bottom six states de Mexico eran de Guatemala antes.
Eran de Guatemala.
You know, two of my cousins out there, they're teachers. One's a technology teacher and the other one's an art teacher, but you know, they history buffs a little bit, you know, so they kind of educated me on little crazy things that have happened in past politics, you know, and yeah, man, it's that region though. It's that little micro Southern Mexico to, you know, that where you could grow certain things and they grow very, very, very nicely. But chocolate is a crazy thing because you're in Guatemala doesn't mean you could grow chocolate.
Yeah.
It has to be very specific, you know, things that happen, you know. So.
Yeah, and it's definitely not just an easy product. You can just be like, it doesn't come like a Snicker bar, okay? Yeah. That is not how chocolate is.
Cacao, the cacao plant is something
else. It's crazy, Like the first time I discovered it was broken on the floor. And no, it was like kind of red, huh? It was like
it has a hue to it. It's darker. It's like a brown, but it has like a little hue to it.
Yeah. And it was cracked, and I was like, it got on my hands, and I'm like, what is this? Like, I don't even know what this is. And we were just walking, we were going to Cebu Champé. And I don't know if you've ever been to Cebu Champé.
No.
It's so you go to Coban. You know where Coban is?
Yeah.
And so then it's like on the highlands of Coban in a sense. And so it's like a hidden little like
Coban is that's some heavy jungle, some beautiful things up there,
Coban,
man.
Coban is like the weather there gets like how Logan gets when it's starting to get winterish. Okay. It gets really cold.
A lot of mist, a lot of fog.
Ooh, but there's a lot of a lot of indigenous people out
there. Yeah, man. You got like certain spots out there, you better know dialect or have a guide.
Yeah.
Because people look at you crazy.
Yeah, even my dad.
Like it's borderline, like maybe you shouldn't unless you go in there with like with someone that's from there that knows the dialect, you know?
Yeah.
Because yeah, man, I mean we stick out like sore thumbs and shit. Yeah. You know, like
I mean shit, imagine me.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah.
Pop up with like a Viking beard and shit.
Yeah, they'll definitely look at you. Yeah. I mean, even when we went, my dad, Chaparrito, he looks Guatemalan, obviously, and he went up to somebody asking for directions. We were going to one of the caves up there just to be tourists, and they didn't understand us. They didn't understand us, but then they kept winking at like one of our friends that was with us because she doesn't look like she's from there. She's like 6 foot something and she looks American and this little indigenous person that was like super like helpful in a sense by just pointing at us like hey, go this way, you know?
Yeah.
But they're over here winking at like my friend that looked American obviously and it's definitely like a different environment. But it's cool. It's cool. Like you get to experience their their culture,
man.
You know, which is in a sense our roots.
And it's from different region, man. It changes. It's dope. You know, the foods, the colors. Oh, yes. Each region has its own little set of colors. You know, like it's dope, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've personally never been to Coan. I've spoken to workers that are from there, so they've broken it down to me, and you know, and it sounds like a place I definitely want to go. But definitely gonna go with them.
It's beautiful. I mean, it's safe. It's not like if you stay in the city, you know.
For me, it's more like because I go deep. I go deep in the in the boondocks. You know, I don't just stay in the little
in the city.
Or in the touristy places. You know, I go looking for coffee sometimes, and you go deep into some fincas that have some, you know, and the people there, like they don't really deal with people, and you can't communicate with them.
Yeah.
You know, and the reality is like. You might be an intruder and they're just protecting the land. Like situations like that can definitely happen, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so that's why I always, you know, take someone that's from there or cause I go and tell you, like I said, I import coffee from Frejanes, you know, but looking to the future, like I go out looking for coffees while I'm over there too. You know what I mean? And I get leads from different people down there or from here. You know, I've made a couple connections with people on this end and yeah, man, it's I love it, man. Like I love that stuff, dude. Yeah. Like
and that's really one of the only ways you can like experience the roots of a lot of like these little pueblitos.
Mm-hmm.
Like honestly, like if I mean, when we went to Semushan Bay, which like I was telling you, it's like over the like highlands, it's a hidden little valley. Like if we didn't get out there and try to somewhat get like a direction from like people that have a different dialect than just Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first time we actually got ripped off, like, you know, but it was an experience still, you know.
Well,
it's trial and error.
But that's where I love it, man. Like you could go get the tourist experience. Like that's cool too. You know what I mean? Because especially if it's your first time or you're not very exposed, by all means, you know, start there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like try work yourself up as you go because you get more comfortable being down there, man. Like I'm very comfortable in Guatemala.
Yeah.
You know, I'm heavily tattooed, but I don't know how people exaggerate a lot of the time, man. Like it's same as here. If you go looking for something, you'll find it. If not, everyone's chill. No one's gonna try to none of that. No one's gonna try to kidnap you or extort.
Yeah.
That goes on, but it's a different vibe, man. Like if you're not from there, if you don't go looking for trouble, you're not gonna find it, you know.
Yeah.
And that's why, like I said, I love going into the deep parts of it and
yeah, people really do exaggerate it.
Yeah,
really,
man.
I was when I first got this. It was after my first trip, and I was scared because I'm like, my mom was like, "Te van a agarrar los pandilleros," and I'm like, "Excuse me."
It's different, man.
Yeah,
even the cops, like when I go hang out with my cousins and we're on the block having a couple beers and they pass by and you know drinking out in public is illegal out there.
Yeah, yeah.
And first thing is they all look at me. The cops look at me, so I talk to them in English, and they're like, "Oh, this was from the United States."
Yeah.
They're like, "Pásame un día," you know.
Yeah.
Just don't get into trouble is all they tell you.
Yeah.
And it's relaxed. There's, you know, it really it's is. Not as scary actually, as people make it out to be.
It actually like builds a conversation. You know, being able to like own that you're not necessarily like fully from there. You are, you know, you're American, and it's like
I definitely don't hide it. And like, it's in our accent. As soon as we open our mouths, they know like where are you from, bro.
Yep. As soon as we open our mouths.
Yeah, man.
That's why my dad, when we'll go to do tourist things, he'll be like, "Don't talk, okay." Because you're gonna pay us.
That's the truth. You know?
It's big, dude. Yeah, it's man. Like you can go into a tourist place, for example, you can say the regular like Disneyland, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like if I didn't live in California, it's more expensive for a pass.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? But if you're a California resident, it's like
that's a good comparison. Yeah.
So it's the same. Discount. It's the same.
Like, yeah, there's different prices, man. Different people get different prices.
So Guatemala is like Disneyland.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean,
even better though. Yeah, but I experienced that in Antigua
a few years back.
Yeah, like the bartering, where like my cousins were like, "Look, what are you kind of looking for, and what are you trying to spend? Just give me your money, and I'll pay for it." And it's like, otherwise they're gonna rip you off. I'm like,
I mean, I did that in TJ for you, and like me and Roger like kind of took over in TJ, like buying shit.
Oh yeah.
And we were at the
Ruffs
and shit.
Yeah. I was like, here's my money.
Honestly, recently, like, I'm just like, I don't even care. Like, here you go, man. Like, I'll pay
it's this. It's true, bitch. Though. It's true. Like, I think about it, you know, when I went to tour the farms in Jalapa, we paid, like, for the whole experience, but we were also trying to, like, network with them.
Yeah.
And we went and stayed in their farm, and she told me, like, a set price, and I was like, oh, cool. You know, we ended up even, like, driving our car because they had, like, issues with their car, and... But then I even end up giving them extra. Porque
it's cheap, dude.
Para like mí, para mí, 50 dólares is
no
like,
nada.
I mean, no es nada.
Yeah.
Sí, me da trabajo. Like, sí. You know, I'm sweating for it. But
like,
for me,
you're
it's
gonna
like,
get it back. Yeah.
The experience is totally worth it.
Yeah, and
those
for them,
extra couple bucks.
Like,
oh, man. Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm sure it was more than that. But, you know, it's
anything
to help them out.
It's different, man. Like, yeah. So don't just come back and barter with people in foreign countries.
Yeah. Bargaining. Actually, side story to that. There was one time fuimos a Panajachel. Have you been to
Panajachel? I've never been to Pana.
Oh,
no.
Pana is so beautiful. But Panajachel is one of the little cities surrounding Santiago Atitlan, the lake.
Mm-hmm.
And we went, and there's a lot of like markets. There's a lot of markets.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like, and like just cultural like
colors,
like, color. Oh my gosh, so much.
I've seen pictures. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man,
so we're walking through, and
awesome.
I'm like, oh, like this keychain is cool. And there was this little girl. She might have been like 12, and she's like, come in. You know, what can we get for you? You know, trying to like get a sale. And I'm like, oh, I'm just looking. No worries. She's like, oh, you like that? Like in Spanish, obviously.
You know, yeah.
In Spanish, and she's like, and I'm like, yeah, it's really nice. She's like, I think she started at 30 cues. And I'm like, oh, okay, thank you. Like, I really wasn't going to buy it at all because I didn't want it. I just liked the design. And she's like, okay, 20. And I'm like, and I'm walking away, I'm like, no, thank you. Like, gracias. Like, que tengo un día. And she's like, five cues. And I'm like, what? She went from like 30 to like five cues.
Wow.
It's because like they wanted
the hustle's,
like,
the hustle's real, man. Sometimes you got to break even just to get ahead, you know? And
yeah.
That's crazy, man. But it's.
They gotta do what
they gotta
hustle,
do. It's man.
Like
it's
gotta,
the hustle down there, you know.
There's so much product. There's so many things, and it's.
And like a lot of people, man, it's crazy on this end. This is something else too that's kind of like people don't like talking about is the child labor part of a lot of where we come from. You know, like you just said, there's a kid hustling in a market.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And a lot of people look down on it, and it's like, hey, you should be in school. But guess what?
Yeah.
Not all these families have the fucking means.
Yeah,
dude, you got. It's not like here, you know.
Yeah.
It's different.
And I really like that point you bring up because a while back there was we do projects, right? We do once a year. We'll try to raise funds to take product to either a class or school or farmers. You know, we've done it like a couple times,
right.
a few times
already.
And I was trying to raise funds last year, and I went through a company that I felt very trusting. I was like, you know, let's sit down with them. Let's ask them for their platform. So, you know, their business, like, can we set up a little booth here? Or can we set up a little...
Assuming they would be understanding, like, oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, or can we, like, arrange something where, like, 5% of your coffee, I don't know, for this day will go to the funds, you know? And they're like, okay, what is your vision? What is it you're wanting to raise? I'm like, oh, we want to raise funds for a class. My teacher, my aunt's a teacher out there, and we want to, like, bring school supplies to the kids. And they're like, oh, okay. Well, we're kind of concerned that that doesn't have to relate anything with our coffee.
Wow.
They straight up said that, and I'm like, and I eat me pago. Like, I was just like, I'm good. Okay, thank you. Because.
Yeah, and then she told us that. I was like,
because to me, it's like some of these kids don't go to school because they have to work the farm.
That's neta. That's it. Just comes down to money. And I mean, that's one of the things. Like, for instance, in Frejanes, there's this little school right at the top of the mountain, and to get to top of the mountain, which locals refer as El Chocolate, it's a little incline, you know. Like, you have to know how to drive it. If you don't have a four-wheel driver, you'll get stuck midway up a hill. And if you do, you know, it's just, you have to still know how to drive. And that little school up there, man, is it's pretty low budget, you know. And a lot of the kids that go there, or most of the kids that go there, are the kids of the workers. Or the kids of, you know,
of your
parents or grandkids of people that own the land up there, right? But they don't have a lot, man. And so I have some pins for you.
Oh, we got presents?
We also got coffee, by the way.
Okay, I figured that was...
Which I'm excited to, like, brew some later.
So, here's a pin of the company, company name.
Oh, that's sick. Thank you.
And here's one. So this one right here. It's a coffee bean pin, you know? And,
oh, that's cool. That's
really so this, tell you, like, we were talking about how you, when you go down there, it changes you and you see things that kind of bother you. And yeah, that little school, man, it was too low key, and it served the kids of the workers, man. And I want them to have a little something extra. So I made that pin in mind, to donate most of the proceeds, to them, you know, and for them to use the funds as needed. The director there, she's a friend of my uncle's. My uncle used to be the head of the Department of Transportation there in Frejanes. So he met a few people while he was serving his term. And so I told him, I was like, let me attach this to your school, you know, and we'll sell them over here, and hopefully we get some money funded. So decided to start, like, a Latinx coffee clothing brand. Which is what this is, or the hat. It's cafeteros, cafeteras, depending on who you are, you know. And basically, every design that we're going to come out with this is going to benefit a different cause in a different country, in a different place, for educational or health services, you know what I mean? Medical services. The colorful hat that I have on, that's actually going to the School Box Project, which is a little mini school bus in Tijuana that goes around to the albergues for all the migrants, all the migrant brothers and sisters down there and their kids, and also around Tijuana for other kids that just, you know, don't have means to education. And they teach for free. This is all organized by Andy Cornell down there in Tijuana. I met her and this other fabulous young lady named Gaba Cortez. They used to have a cafe right on the beach of Las Playas. And it was called Undocumented Cafe.
Why does that sound familiar?
It sounds familiar.
So it's a shame. It's I don't think it's there anymore, unfortunately. We had some issues with the people that were renting it out, I think. Don't quote me on that. But yeah, unfortunately, that project just isn't there anymore. But I was donating coffee to them. I was going down there like once a month with goods and a few pounds of roasted coffee. It was like 30 pounds at a time or something like that. So, but that stopped working. But I was like, man, I still want to work with the people down here somehow. You know what I mean? And I didn't want to necessarily cross my coffee company with overly, I don't want to say political, but another cause, another type of cause, even though coffee is completely connected to that. So I started the Cafeteros brand, and yeah, we're gonna do that, man. So the pin's gonna be attached to the Huate school, the colorful, and all this stuff is gonna be on sale like at the end of the month, hopefully.
Okay, on your website.
Cafeteros.com.
Okay.
the or Cafeteras, I guess it is Latinx, yeah. Latinx coffee brand. The O or A is
they're with both
the
X, correct.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So,
they're both
kind of, yeah. So coffee and yeah, man. It's
that's awesome.
It's just I needed to do something. Coffee wasn't just it wasn't enough, man. Yeah. Like I didn't feel you know satisfied with that.
Yeah.
It's like you gotta help your people.
Yeah, man.
You know, or else there's no like you don't feel anything.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, dude. And
well, it's like we were saying a while back is, you know, right now, the way the whole world is functioning, you know, not necessarily just the United States, like it's under either really corrupted systems, it's either under unorganized systems, whatever, you know, whatever it is. And obviously we're not God and we can't just like, or a higher power, we can't just change things like, you know,
yeah.
like Thanos, you know, just
the snap
and tries to bring in whatever, you know, you can. But it's, so we have to work with the little we have. And,
yeah. Be creative.
You know, yeah. Right now, obviously, coffee prices aren't going,
mm-hmm.
you know, up. They're not, they're fluctuating.
Mm-hmm.
They're fluctuating. And so, yeah, it's like coffee is not going to be enough to sustain some of these farmers or some of these kids. And so we have to really think outside
yeah.
the box.
You have to attack it from different angles, you know, and like I said, man, it's, I don't know, just sitting around, idea came up. I'm just finally glad that, you know, with the help of a couple other people, I'm executing it and hope this thing grows because it has the whole self-sustainable. I injected a little money into it to start it.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, most of the profits
yeah.
are going, oh, you know, to whatever cause is attached to the design, right?
Yeah.
So this is a self-sustainable thing, so
yeah.
it needs people to buy it, to keep making it, so
yeah.
you know, hopefully it helps out, you know, as we go on, you know, takes
mm-hmm.
off, you know.
Yeah.
But
for sure, I mean, definitely we have to like look into it and,
yeah, man,
like,
I mean, I can't stop looking at your hat.
Yeah, man, like
that is a pretty badass hat. Yeah.
I was just, yeah, it's just there's a couple little things in there too, man, within the design. But we're working a couple designs with a few different people too, collaborations with different, you know, brothers like La Dalia Coffee. They have a school already on their finca,
yeah,
man. Like,
I remember.
Tamirano family doing
yeah.
big things out there, man.
Yeah, and I've noticed that, like a lot of the farms that I've gone to. It's actually, I mean, we're still pretty small as Latinx and
yeah.
as like within the coffee industry, we're still pretty small. But every time I've gone to a coffee farm out there, we make really great connections with the farmers, really great connections with the families. And I love it because they hold us up so high, but then I'm like, no, like,
no, we don't do like we're
you
not
know,
who you think we are.
That's
like
the appreciation
yeah.
of the help, though, man.
Yeah,
like that's.
It is.
I've gotten it asked like multiple times, and my sister's witness of this. But and my dad, we've gotten asked like, hey, like when we're about to leave or something, they're like, hey, you guys are doing great things. Thanks for visiting us. Thank you for like all the knowledge
yeah.
you brought, and we're excited to see you here again soon.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, also like, do you? And it was a really great experience. But one of the farmer's wife. No, sorry, opposite. One of the farmer's husband, because the farmer is the woman, and
mm.
this company focuses on, like, the women,
right.
you know? And he pulls me aside, he's like, hey, look, do you see that mountain over there? And I'm like, okay. And it's, like, across the valley, right? And I'm like, yeah, that's pretty far. He's like, there's a town over there where these kids have to walk from over there to here to go to school.
Yeah.
So if you guys keep growing, I really would, like, love to ask you guys to help us build a school. And I'm like in my head, I'm like, dang, that's like, that's honor, that's really, but like, and I would, if I had the money right now and if
mm-hmm.
I had the resources immediately
yeah.
you know. But it's like, it's so beautiful to like see that and experience that, and it's
yeah,
like
man.
It motivates you.
Yeah, it does. It like I said, that's what got me, for you know, as motivated as I am, I guess, is just living that. And you see, I'm telling you, you see the sincerity in the thanks that people give you just for even trying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you don't necessarily do anything, but just for trying and taking the time to listen to their struggle and possibly help them out, you know?
Yeah.
That's huge, man. Like, because they don't necessarily get a lot of help from the outside, you know?
Yeah.
The governments
yeah.
aren't necessarily, you know, helping them out the way they should,
mm-hmm.
you know? So it's any help is really, really appreciated.
Yeah.
That's just,
yeah.
yeah.
So yeah,
it's very humbling, you know, just being around that kind of people. Yeah. Like, it reminds me of like when I was a kid and I go back to Mexico. Like, shit that mattered, like back home, like in the U.S., it doesn't matter there.
No, it doesn't.
And then there's some things where it's the opposite, where like some things matter there, where like, you know,
yeah,
it's very different. And I feel like in Guatemala, it's special in a way where like, sure, many countries are like,
yeah, Central America, South, yeah.
So far, based on the experiences that I've heard from people that I know, like you guys, like, it's just being there.
Yeah.
It's different.
Yeah, man.
It's different. In multiple ways that I have no words to put.
Yeah. Yeah, the vibe, the energy, you know, that's the only way to describe it, because the feel is just different, man. Like, I don't know, te digo, si te despegas a veces de la ciudad, man, that's the best thing. Concrete is cold. You know, it's and then especially given the times over here right now, man, it's sometimes overwhelming, and you become a little darker because of it, you know, and you can't help it, you know, you're just bombarded with bad shit, you know, and
it's true.
And to detach oneself from that sometimes is definitely needed, you know. I know a lot of people go out here and go camping and stuff, you know, that's it gets it done too, but fucking going a little further, you know, down there with a whole different set of people and the land is different, man.
Yeah,
it's good for the soul.
It definitely is.
I think that's something that, like, I always told my dad, and I've said it multiple times on the episode, where it's like, you know, he was deported 10 plus years ago, uh-huh, and he wants to come back. You know, he wants to come back and fulfill his second American dream. Mm-hmm. You know, because when he first came here, he accomplished it. Yeah. Which was teniendo casa allá y teniendo casa aquí. At the end of the day, both of them ended up getting lost, you know, because of everything. But now his second dream is investing property out there for us, mm-hmm, you know, for me as his daughter and like my younger sister, mm-hmm, and my older brother, and having a place donde ir a quedarnos, you know. And I tell him, I'm like, it's because it's different, you know. It's like, I tell him, I don't know why you want to come out here. And at first he's like, honestly, I only want to go out there because for you, and your little sister.
Yeah.
You know, I want to be able, el dinero llega más rápido aquí que allá. And as sadly as that is, like, he's like, I honestly don't want to go to America because I want to be, mm-hmm, you know, free-spirited and like, meditate and all. No, because you can find it here in the States. But it's different. It's a whole different vibe. It's a whole different vibe.
No, and completely understandable, man. Like his drive to provide for you guys, man, like, that's the same drive like a lot of our parents, or most of our parents, had for us. You know, like, my mom migrated here in 72 or 73. I can't remember. Landed in Echo Park, you know, and raised us, you know, as a single mom for, you know, quite a few years. Mm-hmm. And, man, to see her still, like, she just retired. I just finally convinced her to retire, man. Like, I'm like, dude, yes, do it, man.
Like, the hardest thing to do.
But she's still working, I'm sure, at the house.
Nah, man, like she cleans her house every day, man. But, nah, man, like, it's, you know, me duele que tanto trabajo tuvo ella y que, you know, she could never buy her house here, you know?
Yeah.
And that's where fucking her kids come in, you know. Like me personally, it's like my motivation is the helping the people over there. On a more personal level, for me though, like, it's my mom, you know. Yeah. Like, I want to get her. I mean, she lives in Echo Park still, which is now nice, and like, she doesn't have to worry about, you know, walking around and shit. But I still want to give her a house, you know.
Yeah.
Have her own little garden, and that's that's the basis of why I do everything on a day-to-day basis, for my family, for my wife, for my coming son. You know, I'm telling you, if you go into anything with a little passion, a lot of follow-through, you know, and you have the right motivation behind it, man, like, you're a dangerous motherfucker, you know. You could get a lot accomplished, you know, just with that.
And that's, we all have that. It's like,
Really, that's the crazy part. That. Everyone has that.
Yeah. It's just, there's been a lot of fear that has been put on us as a culture, as a community. Like, I think there's been a lot of fear and suppression. Yeah. And how do we overcome that? You know, it's like our parents came here to sustain us and to work hard for us. And they work ridiculous hours, and now it's like, hey, like, you have, like, the passion and the follow-through, like you were saying, and I think that's, like, it's a very strong point.
Right. It's crazy how you were brought up to be, like, workers.
Yeah, like, a lot of us are, you know.
But
this...
we've always been leaders.
Always.
You know, we've always been, we've always been royalty, you know, but you come here and it's...
You know, like, LA, you gotta strip that away.
Yeah, LA is not for the faint, man. Like, LA is not for the faint. Like, if you grew up a certain way in a certain area around certain type of people, you're strong.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, I mean, you grew up rich in you know, in East Side or even on the South End, like, neighborhoods in between, man, like, estás trucha, you know what's up, man. Like, you're not only are you street smart, but you're all kinds of other shit, you know what I mean? And going into business and starting a business, definitely you need some of that, you know what I mean? And a lot of people come to LA and don't necessarily know what's up and don't make it, you know, because if you're trying to dig deep enough, man, like, be ready.
It's heavy shit.
People don't realize. Yeah, dude. Yeah. Like, especially small businesses. That's crazy. Like, there's a spot in Echo Park, right? That used to be this hole in the wall, little hamburger joint. And that got closed down because of the gentrification and all that, right? And a coffee shop opened up there. And I just found out that they were paying north of 10 grand a month in rent, man.
What?
And they closed down. Like, they closed down. But I'm like, what's going on?
That is so insane.
For the square footage, I was like, no way. No way, you're lying to me. You're lying to me. But no, man, like, yeah.
Well, it is something that I tell my dad, you know, where it's like, you're paying that much for, like, very minimal square footage here in the States.
Yeah, man.
Especially in California.
Oh.
You know, but then you're going to Guatemala and you're getting a three-story house with a guest house for under 50 grand.
Man, they were selling me a parcel of una manzana.
Uh-huh.
Ya tenía cafetal.
Uh-huh.
It had a flowing water through it and a cabin, bro, for 40 grand. Like.
What did you go for?
And the thing is, like, right now I don't have the money to invest in that particularly.
Send me the number. Pero hasta
un pinche payment plan. I'm like, no manches, de verdad. Like, yeah, jeez, man. Like, it's different on there, man. You know, it's just, are you ready to live in those terms? Because it's not completely in the jungle, but it's not in the city. So, like, even going to the store and getting meat, like, it's just not all necessarily centralized. Like, you got to go to La Carnicería.
And
it's just different, man. You know, but I don't plan on spending the rest of my days in the U.S. You know, I'm kind of splitting my time. You know, I don't necessarily want even my kids, you know, having to stay here all year. I want them to experience other cultures, other flavors, and just different rhythms, man.
Dang, 40 grand. I'm still
it's some people, they just don't want to live in a certain place, and to them that's a lot of money, like you said.
Yeah,
it transfers over to a lot of money. So
it's true.
Everyone has a different take on life, man.
That's true.
Man, it definitely, I mean, I lleva 10 años my dad out there, and I told him from the very start, let's invest in property. Yeah. Porque as soon as he got deported, we need money, you know? Like, my mom, he was the household, you know, bringing, like, the main income, and so we got ripped off from that. And so it was just like, all right, we need money. We need, like, my mom, my sister, and I, like, we need to survive. And he sold his house out there. Nobody ever lived in it, sadly, and he still had to sell it. And, you know, I think about it where it's like, I don't know, just having property out there and just really investing in it.
It's a good plan B.
It's a good.
You know, even a plan A, you know, maybe we're in plan B over here. You know, a lot of people don't think of it that way. You know what I mean? Like, we have such a connection. Like, we're lucky, man. Somos Latino Americanos, you know, like we have blood from down there. A lot of us are lucky enough to have that. And within that, man, there's a lot of natural resource over there. And a lot of our families grow crops and do all kinds of things. And honestly, the way I thought of it is like, why can't I fucking be their representative?
Yeah.
You know, instead of some dude that doesn't give a you know, two shits about him, really.
Yeah.
Just they're a profit, you know, for him.
Yeah.
And a lot of people could do the same thing, man. Mm-hmm. Se pongan las pilas. You know, the way to change the way that big business is done like that is to take a little bit off it. And then the next person takes a little chip, a little off of their profits too. And eventually, you got a bunch of people that are representing their families and cutting out the middlemen in a sense.
Yeah.
And you know, selling yeah. what their family, you know, sweats all year for a better price and you know, yeah. but like I said, education, man. Eduquense.
Yes.
Like do yeah. your research and believe me, follow through is the key.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
thank you for being on the show.
Damn, yeah, man.
I'm
thank
sure
you guys for
I have
having
more
me.
More questions to come.
We got more questions, but I want to make sure we got that in there. Like,
yeah,
yo, thank
yeah.
you for being on the
yeah,
show.
Yeah, thank you for inviting
me. Gracias a ustedes. This is my first coffee podcast,
yeah.
man. Like, you know, appreciate
good,
you
good.
Guys having me. And, yeah. You know, saludos a Fraijanes, a toda la gente de Fraijanes, Mario
yes.
Salazar, my uncles, Rolando and Moncho. You know, you guys are the real MVPs. You know, Moncho
yeah.
waking up every day at 5 a.m. to take care of everything in that property, man. You know, that's
you guys.
So thank you guys for having me and letting me voice that.
For sure. You know, we're definitely like that is our motto, you know. We're a voice for we're providing a platform for the people
mm-hmm.
and for nuestra gente, you know.
Some
and
more,
it's
yeah.
like
yeah.
being I mean, maybe we're not buying out like their sacks of coffee or anything, but
yeah.
we're
the
with
platform,
a little bit.
Man. Your platform is does a lot, you know, for
yeah.
people like me. So
yeah.
believe me.
So,
it might not be necessarily you don't think you're helping the way you should be, but believe me, you guys are
yeah,
just keep giving people voices, keep
yeah.
doing what you do,
yeah,
and we
you.
Appreciate it, man.
Thank
helping
you.
The
thank
movement
you.
Yeah
thank
do you
it's,
have any
it gets frustrating
yeah.
sorry
no go ahead
I was gonna say it can get frustrating, you're like I want to do more, but it's like
yeah no,
just
you
know, like
do a little start with a little man
within time
start
know?
With
yeah.
a little and yeah with time no se desesperen
yeah.
like
mm-hmm.
but always be working on it a little bit, you know what I mean,
yeah.
don't
yeah.
forget it, you know, just develop that idea a little bit more and more, man.
Yeah.
yeah.
Passion
yeah.
and follow through.
Yeah.
yeah, I really, yeah, there's so many things. There's always so many things going through my head, but yeah, it's, I think within time, you know, having
yeah.
patience and really going at the time that it needs to happen.
Yeah.
You know, so, well, do you have any questions for us or do you
man.
Have any other shout outs
man.
Or anything?
You know, just thanks for having me, you know, and saludos, like I said, to my people over there, over here, you know, La Dalia Coffee, Cafe Huayua, you know, El Celito Cafe, you know, you can find, you know, my coffee at 1802 Roasters in Cypress Park, you know, Mugshot Coffee Roasters in Echo Park. There's a couple spots around there, you know, where you can find them live. But también a mi beautiful wife, man.
Yeah.
Me echa la mano con todo.
That's awesome.
You know, Karen,
yeah.
you know, as pregnant as she is, you know, even to lend an ear, man, she's helped me
yeah.
develop this. So siempre, you know.
Good.
With a powerful woman on my side, so that's
yeah.
it, guys. You
and
know?
This is your first kid.
Yeah, man, my first
yes.
baby. First kid.
Yeah.
So
boy or girl, do you know?
Boy.
Ah.
Yeah, baby boy. Nice. Any day.
That's exciting.
Wow.
That's exciting. Oh man, are you nervous?
I'm a lot of things. You know, like it's doesn't matter what age you are. You know, I'm 37 and I'm still a little nervous. I'm
yeah.
excited. It's a lot.
Yeah. I don't know who it was that was telling me. It's like you're never ready.
Oh no, I don't think for
ready.
The first one. I don't
people
think
are
so
always
that.
Like, we want to be financially ready, or we
yeah.
want to be at this part in our life. And it's like
mm-hmm.
you're never ready in a sense.
Loki, that was kind of part of it for me too. You know, like. You know, she's always wanted a family, but the business wasn't where it needed to be. I was still moving around a lot and didn't have necessarily the income to really put in my two cents, you know, and not because everything would kind of go into my business, you know.
Yeah.
And like
yeah.
I said, you know, but now things have changed a little bit. You know, we've hit the. You know, the light at the end of the tunnel a little
mm-hmm.
bit, and yeah, man, we're
that's
moving
good.
Forward, you know.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's really awesome.
Like I said, but it wasn't easy, man.
Yeah.
There's some days there where you second-guess yourself, third-guess yourself.
Yeah.
Why did I do this? Why did I take upon this responsibility? Like,
yeah. And then
but,
you take a sip of your coffee and
yeah,
like, oh,
man,
that's why.
You know,
I'm
like,
okay, I remember now.
Deep breath, and you realize, like, fuck, dude, Rome wasn't built in a day. Relax, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
I like how you said, like, hey, we started making it at the end of the tunnel, but now we got to keep moving forward. Like, yeah, there's never an end.
No, man, no.
Unless you choose to.
Yeah,
end,
no.
You know?
Yeah.
yeah.
We see the light, but, you know, not quite there.
Yeah.
Yeah, got to keep pushing.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much
for
joining us, and I really appreciate it. And I'm sure we'll always have questions, and we'll always hit you up.
Yeah, man,
if we have
we'll be
questions
around.
And I love this community. You know, we have.
I love it.
Linda and her husband, like
yeah.
we've had them on the podcast. We've had Danny
yeah.
on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
We've had you.
Yeah.
Hopefully now, Dalia's
La Dalia Coffee. Yeah,
coffee.
We'll get Ernesto on here. Ernesto's story is crazy.
Yeah. Oh my god, don't
that
me.
Dude, like,
yeah,
it's you guys are gonna trip out. When
I know,
you get him on
Sarai for Poderosa podcast interviewed him and his sister, right? Because, like,
is that who he is? Oh,
yeah,
okay,
yeah,
man.
Nicaragua,
yeah, yeah, Altamiranos, los Altamiranos, yeah,
so,
man.
Hopefully, we can get them on. Because get that community, you know.
Yeah,
like, really, I love what you guys are doing, and I defeating La Envidia, you know,
yeah,
and really pushing forward.
Gotta push
La
together,
familia, you know, and
we help each other, man.
Yeah,
así tiene que ser.
Yes. Well, thank you very much, and thanks for everything you're doing. Keep it up.
Oh, man. Gracias.
So,
appreciate
yeah.
the support,
well,
guys.
Oh,
yeah.
Vámonos.